الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، we continue the تفسير of Sheikh عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي عليه رحمة الله، particularly آية number 88. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. فما لكم في المنافقين فئتين والله أركسهم بما كسبوا أتريدون أن تهدوا من أضل الله ومن يضلل الله فلن تجد له سبيلا. Then what is the matter with you that you are divided into two parties about the hypocrites? Allah has cast them back to disbelief because of what they have earned. Do you want to guide him whom Allah has made to go astray? And he whom Allah has made to go astray, you will never find for him any way of guidance. I will repeat. And he whom Allah has made to go astray, you will never find for him any way of guidance. The Sheikh actually quoted Ayah 88 and 89, then he did the tafsir. So we will do the same thing. وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا فَتَكُونُونَ سَوَاءً فَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا مِنْهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ حَتَّى يُهَاجِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَخُذُوهُمْ وَقَتُلُوهُمْ حَيْثُ وَجَدْتُمُوهُمْ وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا مِنْهُمْ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا. The following ayah says, they wish that you reject faith as they have rejected faith, and thus that you all become equal like one another. So take not awliya, meaning protectors of friends, from them till they emigrate in the way of Allah. But if they turn back from Islam, take hold of them and kill them wherever you find them, and take neither awliya nor helpers from them. The Sheikh said, المراد بالمنافقين المذكورين في هذه الآيات المنافقون المظهرون إسلامهم ولم يهاجروا مع كفرهم وكان قد وقع بين الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم فيهم اشتباه. The munafiqeen intended in these ayat are the ones who pretended to be Muslims outwardly, yet they did not migrate or immigrate for the sake of Allah while they were in the state of disbelief. Why did the Sheikh make that distinction? Why did he have to define the kind of hypocrisy being addressed in this ayah? Why? Why did he tell you it is those who pretend to be Muslims outwardly, but they're kuffar and they didn't do hijrah? Why? What is the reason for? You usually specify something when there's possible misunderstanding or misinterpretation or options. Why is that? Who can figure it out? Alaykum salam. Who can figure it out? Sahir?
Yeah, well, I think because there are levels of hypocrisy. I mean, a man can be a Muslim and yet close to hypocrisy. And in this case, we can't just go and kill him. But well, a man can be a real kafir and then he pretends to become a Muslim. And this is the real and true munafiq was mentioned in this ayah.
Correct, because the ulama, they categorize nifaq, hypocrisy, into two kinds. Major, minor. Like you have major kufr, minor kufr. Major shirk, minor shirk. Then you have major hypocrisy, minor hypocrisy. This you must know that. Because if you don't know, then you will be upon the way of the khawarij. The Khawarij don't make these distinctions. So any quality which they consider to be, you know, which an ayah comes with a threat against it, against that person or that person with that quality, they will disqualify him from iman and they will call him a kafir. So here we have a minor hypocrisy. In fact, each and every one of us could be a hypocrite in that sense. As in, if you promise people something and you don't fulfill the promise, you're being a hypocrite. If you speak and then you lie when you speak, you're being a hypocrite. If you, when you argue, you overreact, you're being a hypocrite. And the fourth one, if he's trusted with something, he's treacherous. These are the qualities of the munafiq, minor. Nifaqun asghar. Aw nifaq dun al-nifaq. It's a nifaq which is lesser than the nifaq. So this ayah here is not speaking about those who have these qualities, which could be any one of us. This is speaking about the major hypocrisy. What is major hypocrisy? Someone who pretends to be a Muslim, but he's not. I don't know whether we still have him, but we used to have him at the Dawah Center. And this is normal. Someone will enter into Islam for some dunya. He heard that if you become a Muslim, they'll give you some money, and that you get some certain privileges, and then they will take care of you. You have lunch every Friday, and juice, and you may go for... They say, okay, that sounds good. And he's still a Christian inside. Outwardly, he gives you salam, returns the salam, whatever. It's front. He's fronting. He's lying. They exist. And we heard some of the people in Dawah, and they had some of these students admit that they had come as hypocrites, then Allah guided them. Alhamdulillah, it worked against them for them. They came just a hypocrisy, then they started listening to the da'wah, then they believed. But that was not their intention when they came here the first time. And so hypocrisy, we're speaking about that major hypocrisy. And وَقَدْ كَانَ وَقَعَ بَيْنَ الصَّحَابَةِ رِضْوَانُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ فِيهِ مُشْتِبَةٍ. Now the Sahaba had some sort of, they were skeptical concerning them. These hypocrites created an issue among the Sahaba. They differed. They had some doubt as to how to deal with them or what is the ruling on them. فَبَعْضُهُمْ تَحَرَّجَ عَنْ قِتَالِهِمْ. Some of them, they were too, they avoided fighting against them. تَحَرَّج is not when you feel uncomfortable. Okay, uncomfortable. لَا حَرَج meaning no harm, no sin. So some of them avoided fighting against them. وَقَطَعَ مُوَالَاتِهِمْ بِسَبَبْ مَا أَظَرُوا مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. And they, some of the Sahaba did not want to fight against them, and they did not want to boycott them or to end their allegiance and their friendship with them, because outwardly they pretended to be what? Believers. Iman. And you know, it's difficult for someone tells you he's a mu'min, you say, no, you're a hypocrite. See what I'm saying? وَبَعْضُهُمْ عَلِمَ أَحْوَالِهِمْ بِقَرَاءٍ أَفْعَالِهِمْ فَحَكَمَ بِكُفْرِهِمْ. Other among the Sahaba, they analyzed their behavior, and so they were able to conclude from their conduct that they're kuffar. They knew that these were munafiqeen. They could tell from the things which, the actions, the way they spoke. Of course, Allah mentioned about لَحْنُ الْقَوْلِ, and Allah mentioned that in their appearance, in their statements, in their choices, you can tell they're munafiqeen. Specifically when it comes to jihad. When it comes to jihad, they are the ones who say, oh, buyutuna awra, our homes are unprotected, and you know, don't cause fitna for me, I love women, and if you take me to fight against the, you know, these people, I'm going to fall in love with their women. All kinds of excuses came from the munafiqeen. Allah exposed them in Surah Al-Tawbah. Of course, everybody knows that. Surah Al-Tawbah, Surah Al-Anfal, Surah Al-Munafiqoon. All these surah expose the qualities of the munafiqeen. So it was known to the Sahaba, some of them that is. فَأَخْبَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَنَّهُ لَا يَنْبَغِي لَكُمْ أَن تَشْتَبِهُوا فِيهِمْ وَلَا تَشُكُّوا. Allah Himself told them, it is not befitting that you have any doubt concerning them, nor should you be skeptical. بَلْ أَمْرُهُمْ وَاضِحٌ غَيْرُ مُشْكِلٌ. Their matter is evident and it is not problematic. No problems at all. Clear kufr, clear hypocrisy. بل أمرهم نعم إنهم منافقون. They are hypocrites. قد تكرر كفرهم وودوا مع ذلك كفركم وأن تكونوا مثلهم. Their acts of disbelief were abundant and repetitive, and with that they wish that you can become kuffar like them, so you can be alike, so you can be in it altogether, which is the quality of the hypocrites and the losers. I don't know if you remember, but back when you were a kid in school, when you were young in school, and you were cheating, of course cheating was very common, unless you were a very righteous young man. But if you were not, and it was common that students cheat from one another, what used to happen? When one of them is caught, what would he do? He'll expose the others. Oh yeah, why'd you catch me? Look, him and him, and all these are cheating. And like, what? Shut up, man. You get caught, leave us alone. No, no. Going down, you're going down with me. That's the mentality of the loser. He can't just say, okay, you know, I got caught, let him go. No, what about him? He's cheating too. So it's that mentality, right? You're laughing, what, you're doing this in school, man? I'm just saying. So this actually happens. These are the kuffar, the munafiqeen, they're lost already. And are they happy that they're going to be in the munafiqeen fi ad-dark al-asfali min an-nar wa lan tajid lahum nasira? The hypocrites will be in the lowest level of the hellfire and you will find no protectors and helpers for them. No, they want to take the believers down with them. They want the believers to come right with them so they will share the punishment. فَإِن تَحَقَّقْتُمْ ذَلِكَ مِنْهُمْ فَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا مِنْهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ وَهَذَا يَسْتَلْزِمْ عَدَمْ مَحَبَّتِهِمْ. So once it has become clear, once you've verified their hypocrisy, then do not take among them any friends or protectors, which necessitates not loving them. Obviously, you cannot love them. If they are hypocrites, pretending to be Muslims while they're not, you're not going to love them. This is common sense. لِأَنَّ الْوِلَايَةِ فَرْعُ الْمَحَبَّةِ. يعني ولاية is a branch of love. You develop friendship and you decide to protect someone because of some sort of mutual love between you. It's a byproduct of that. وَيَسْتَلْزِمُ أَيْضًا بُغْضَهُمْ وَعَدَاوَتَهُمْ. This necessitates not only not loving them, rather hating them and showing enmity. لِأَنَّ النَّهِي عَنِ الشَّيْءِ أَمْرٌ بِضِدِّهِ. Because when something is forbidden, then it is the opposite is automatically commanded. This is a principle, qaida. When Allah forbids us to do something, automatically, without the need to mention, the opposite of that thing is recommended and obligatory. If Allah says, don't do this, meaning the opposite, you should be done. For example, وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. Do not scream at your parents. Even if there wasn't an ayah that says, وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Even if there wasn't. Once Allah said, do not scream at them, that means you must treat them kindly. Once Allah says, don't do this, then the opposite is being commanded. Is that clear? That's a qaida. وَهَذَا الْأَمْرُ مُوَقِّتٌ بِهِجْرَتِهِمْ فَإِذَا هَاجَرُوا جَرَى عَلَيْهِمْ مَا جَرَى مِنَ الْمُوَقَّتْ بِهِجْرَتِهِمْ. Now, this whole affair now is conditional to a particular time, a duration of time, which is that of their migration. If they migrate from where to where? From Mecca to Medina, then jara ma yajra al-muslimin. Then they are to be treated as Muslims if they do the hijra. Kama kana an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yujri ahkam al-islam. The same way the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would deal with the munafiqeen, even though he knew they were munafiqeen, he would treat them according to what? Islam. Understand? These ayat are speaking about those with hypocrisy that you know about, and they have not done hijra. They have not done hijra. These are the ones which Allah has commanded the believers not to take them as protectors and to not have doubt concerning their kufr and to kill them wherever they find them, as we will see in the ayat. If they do hijra, is the ruling the same? No. Upon doing hijra, then they are treated as the rest of the munafiqeen in Medina. And there were many munafiqeen in Medina. In fact, there were no munafiqeen in Mecca initially. There weren't any. The munafiqeen started to appear when Islam became strong. And it was moving and there was nothing to get in its way and stop it. So the people started entering into Islam as means of protecting their wealth and their selves and their money and their family. Because they knew Islam was going to wipe them out of the map. So they became hypocrites because of that need for it. Otherwise, back in Mecca, it was a kafir. The kuffar of Quraysh didn't need hypocrisy. They were publicly declaring their disbelief. And the believers were publicly declaring their belief and suffering in the process. إذن لكل من كان معه وهاجر إليه. So the Prophet ﷺ used to treat, with the rulings of Islam, anyone who was with him and migrated with him, or migrated to him. وسواء كان مؤمنا حقيقة أو ظاهر الإيمان. irrespective whether he was a true believer or one who displayed belief, one who pretended to be a believer. وَإِنَّهُمْ إِنْ لَمْ يُهَاجِرُوا وَتَوَلَّوْا عَنْهَا فَخُذُوهُمْ وَاقْتُلُوهُمْ حَيْثُ وَجَدْتُمُوهُمْ. But if they don't migrate and they turn away from that migration, then take them and kill them wherever you find them. أي في أي وقت وأي محل كان. In any time, any place. وهذا من جملة الأدلة الدالة على نسق القتال في الأشهر الحرم. الأشهر الحرم. Now, of course, the scholars have differed about fighting in the sacred months. And among the, one of the evidences used about the permissibility of fighting during the Ashur al-Hurum is this ayah. Because Allah said, kill them wherever you may find them, wherever and whenever, which includes al-Ashur al-Hurum. كما هو قول جمهور العلماء, as it is the opinion of the Jumhur. What does it mean when they say Jumhur al-Ulama? Someone who doesn't know.
Is it consensus?
No. Oh, that's a big mistake.
Majority.
Big mistake. Jumhur is majority. Consensus is total agreement, Abdul Majid. Total agreement, ijma'. That there's no difference, or if someone different, it's someone whose opinion is worthless aslan. Like, for example, if a Shi'i, wicked scholar, differed with Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah on a matter, we cannot say that there's no ijma'. No, there is ijma', because this piece of nothing, his opinion is nothing also. So هذا لا يعتد ولا يعتبر بخلافه ممن لا يعتد بخلافه. People who's differing, them differing on a subject matter, is totally irrelevant. But if it's from the ulama of Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah, and they differed, but the majority were in opinion, we say Jumhur al-Ulama. It's not consensus. There's a huge difference between them. Because when you say Ijma', it's almost like an undeniable evidence. And it's almost like you have to act upon the Ijma'. Unless you're a mujtahid who's able to prove otherwise. But if a Jumhur, for example, Jumhur al-Ulama now, Jumhur al-Ulama are of the opinion that you can either do Hajj Tamattu', Hajj Qiran, or Hajj Ifrad. Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah says no. You're not allowed to do anything but tamattu'. No other hajj is valid except tamattu'. And he has a book, by the way, which he wrote on the mansak of hajj, and it's available in English. It's a very powerful book. And the Shaykh rahimahullah comes from a whole other, angle when it comes to these issues. And he argues with evidences and statements of Ibn Abbas and a hadith from the Prophet والسلام, that Hajj and Umrah, they entered into each other, they will never part until the end of time. Khalas. And had he not, لو لم يسق الهدي, had the Prophet والسلام not brought his own sacrificial animal with him, he would have done Umrah. Because he told the Sahaba, افسخ, leave it, make it Umrah. And they said, we're going to go to Mina with our private parts dripping, meaning because when you do Umrah and you exit the Ihram, you're able to do everything, including having relations with your wife. And this was something which was difficult for the Sahaba. Yet he commanded the Sahaba to make it Umrah. And he said, لَوْ اسْتَقْبَلْتُ مِنْ أَمْرِي مَسْتَدْبَرْتُ لَمَا سُقْتُ الْهَدِي. Had I had the chance to go back, I would have not brought my sacrificial animal, meaning I would have done Umrah, then exited completely, then I would have done Hajj again. So they would do the two Nusuk separately. And this is a very strong opinion, supported with logic, textual evidences, and what have you. But it is not the opinion of the Jumhur. It is not. However, if you act upon it, there's a valid difference. Of course, before Shaykh Albani, others among the Salaf, rahimahumullah, were of the opinion that tamattu' is obligatory. He's not the first one to come with this. But he dealt with it in a particular way, which was unique to the Shaykh's style and knowledge, rahimahullah ta'ala. So the point being, Jumhur, majority, there's still valid differences of opinion. Consensus, khalas. Khalas, they agreed on something, then anyone else who disagrees, it's irrelevant. And we don't even pay attention to it. إذن جمهور العلماء are of the opinion that this ayah abrogates the ayah of prohibition in fighting in the sacred months. والمنازعون يقولون هذه نصوص مطلقة محمولة على قيد التحريم في الأشهر الحرم. The opponents in this matter, they say no. The textual evidences concerning the permissibility of fighting in the sacred month has been specified through these specific textual evidences like in this ayah. or like the ones where Prophet ﷺ, the other evidences, afwan. So they say, you know, mutlaq wa muqayyad. Aam and khas, something general which has been specified. So they're not the same. This is the opinion of the opposition. So that ends that. Now, ayah number 90 says, we didn't read ayah number 90. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ مِيثَاقٌ أَوْ جَاءُوكُمْ حَصِرَتْ صُدُورُهُمْ أَن يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ أَوْ يُقَاتِلُوا قَوْمَهُمْ وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَسَلَّطَهُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ فَلَقَاتَلُوكُمْ فَإِنْ اعْتَزَلُوكُمْ فَلَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ وَأَلْقَوْا إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَمَ فَمَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ سَبِيلًا. Except those who join a group between you and whom there is a treaty of peace, or those who approach you with their breasts restraining from fighting you, as well as fighting their own people. Had Allah willed, indeed He would have given them power over you, and they would have fought you. So if they withdraw from you, and fight not against you, and offer you peace, then Allah has opened no way for you against them. The Shaykh said, ثُمَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَسْتَثْنَى مِنْ قِتَالِ هَؤُلَاءِ الْمُنَافِقِينَ ثَلَاثُ فِرَقْ أو ثَلَاثَ فِرَقْ. Allah Azza wa Jal has exempted from this fighting against the hypocrites three groups. Three groups were exempted from this general command of fight the munafiqeen, those who did not do. They did not do what? Hijrah. Fight them, kill them, whatever you find them. It's qital. But three were exempted. فرقتين أمر بتركهم وحثهم على ذلك. Two groups Allah recommended that they are left alone. Allah Azza wa Jal said, leave them alone. He commanded that they're left alone and He encouraged that. إحداهما من يصل إلى قوم بينهم وبين المسلمين عهد وميثاق بترك القتال. Those who have connection with a group of people with whom, with the Muslims, they have a treaty that they shall not fight. Treaty of peace. فَيَنْضَمُّ إِلَيْهِمْ. So they are joined with that group. فَيَكُونُ لَهُمْ حُكْمُهُمْ فِي حَقْنِ الدَّمْ وَالْمَالِ. They get the same privilege of their blood and their wealth being protected and sacred. Okay? Those who have this kind of treaty, they have a treaty among other Muslims that they will not fight with them, they get that same privilege by default. وَالْفِرْقَ الثَّانِيَ قَوْمٌ حَصِرَتْ صُدُورُهُمْ أَيْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ أَوْ يُقَاتِلُوا قَوْمَهُمْ أَيْ لَا أَيْ بَقُوا لَا تَسْمَحُوا أَنفُسُهُمْ بِقِتَالِكُمْ وَلَا بِقِتَالِ قَوْمِهِمْ. Another group, they're reluctant. They're not comfortable. They neither want to fight you, nor do they want to fight their own people. وَأَحَبُّ تَرْكَ قِتَالِ الْفَرِيقَيْنِ. And they prefer, they love to abandon fighting either group. They don't want to get into fights. فَهَؤُلَاءِ أَيْضًا أَمَرَ بِتَرْكِهِمْ. Those also Allah commanded that they are left alone. وَذَكَرَ الْحِكْمَةِ فِي ذَلِكَ. Allah mentioned the wisdom behind it بِقَوْلِهِ وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَسَلَّطَهُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ فَلَقَاتَلُوكُمْ. If Allah willed, He would have given them power over you, and so then they would have fought against you. فَإِنَّ الْأُمُورَ الْمُمْكِنَ ثَلَاثَةُ أَقْسَامٍ. Possible things are of three kinds, or three groups, possibilities. إِمَّا أَن يَكُونُوا مَعَكُمْ وَيُقَاتِلُوا أَعْدَاءَكُمْ. Either they are with you fighting your enemy, the munafiqeen. Either they are with you fighting against your enemy. وَهَذَا مُتَعَذِّرْ مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ. Is this possible? Do we expect that the munafiqeen will fight with the Muslims against the enemies of the Muslims? Never. Huh?
They would be hypocrites.
Yes. They don't. In fact, they used to say to the Jews, we are with you and we will support you. And if it comes, you know, if push comes to shove, we will be there for you. Allah said they wouldn't do that. And if they fought with them, they would have wallaw al-adbar. They would have turned around and ran away. The munafiqeen is girgir. You know, that's what they're good at. They talk. That we will do this, we will do that. When it comes to the handling business, nothing. Hot air. وَذَكَرَ الْحِكْمَةِ. نَعْمْ. وهذا متعذر من هؤلاء. فدار الأمر بين قتالكم مع قومهم وبين ترك قتال الفريقين. The only thing left is either they will align, they will go with their people against you. So now the munafiqeen, the Muslim, apparent Muslim, munafiq, is with the enemies of Muslims against the Muslims. So now you're fighting against the munafiqeen who are supposed to be on your side, or tark qital fariqan, or they wanted to abandon fighting with either group. They're neither with the enemies of Islam, nor are they with the Muslims. وَأَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ الْأَمْرَيْنِ عَلَيْكُمْ. This is easier. This is the easier one of the two. وَاللَّهُ قَادِرٌ عَلَى تَصْلِيتِهِمْ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah is able to make them fight with the enemies of Islam against you, isn't it? فَاقْبَلُوا الْعَافِيَةَ وَاحْمَدُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي كَفَّ أَيْدِيَهُمْ عَنْكُمْ. So then, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accept that afia, accept that security, that peacefulness, and praise Allah who kept their hands away from you. مَعَ التَّمَكُّنِ مِنْ ذَلِكِ. Even though they had the means and the ability to harm you. فَهَؤُلَاءِ إِنْ اَعْتَزَلُوكُمْ. So these people, if they leave you, فَلَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ, and they did not fight you, وَأَلْقَوْا إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَمَ, and then they declared their peace before you, and their يعني, some sort of surrender, as in we're not going to engage in fight. فَمَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ سَبِيلًا. These Allah did not give you a way over them, meaning you cannot fight against them. So we have these two groups now. الفرقة الثالثة, you will get in ayah number 91. ستجدون آخرين يريدون أن يأمنوكم ويأمنوا قومهم كلما ردوا إلى الفتنة أركسوا فيها فإن لم يعتزلوكم ويلقوا إليكم السلم ويكفوا أيديهم فخذوهم وقتلوهم حيث ثقفتموهم وأولئكم جعلنا لكم عليهم سلطانا مبينا. You will find others that wish to have security from you and security from their people. Every time they are sent back to temptation, they yield thereto. They yield to it. If they withdraw not from you, nor offer you peace, nor restrain their hands, take hold of them and kill them wherever you find them. In their case, we have provided you with a clear warrant against them. Those who neither say peace, they don't declare peace, and then they may fight with the enemies against Islam. Those ones you are not going to leave alone. قوم الفرقة الثالثة قوم يريدون مصلحة أنفسهم. The third is a group of people who want their own. Aikum salam. Huh? Run out of gas?
Yeah, bus.
No problem, chief. No problem. Welcome to the class. يريدون مصلحة, without all that though. They want the benefit of themselves. They want their own benefit. They're looking after their own good. يعني they call them in Shami language, I don't know if you have it, مصلحجي. Someone is مصلحجي, meaning he only looks for his مصلحة. Like مشكلجي is always doing مشاكل. Anyways, you don't need to learn the Shami terms. بقطع النظر عن احترامكم. And they don't show any reverence, any respect. يعني they're only concerned about what is good for them without having any consideration for you. Without having any consideration for you, right in your face. وَهُمُ الَّذِينَ قَالَ اللَّهُ فِيهِمْ سَتَجِدُونَ آخَرِينَ. It is those whom Allah said concerning you will find another group of people. أي من هؤلاء المنافقين, among those hypocrites. يُرِيدُونَ أَن يَأْمَنُوكُمْ. They want security. أي خَوْفًا مِنْكُمْ, because they're afraid of you. وَيَأْمَنُوا قَوْمَهُمْ, and they want security from their own people. كُلَّمَا رُدُّوا إِلَى الْفِتْنَةِ أُرْكِسُوا فِيهَا. أي لا يزالون مقيمين على كفرهم ونفاقهم. What is their problem? They remain stubborn upon their disbelief and hypocrisy. وكلما عرض لهم عارض من عوارض الفتن أعماهم ونكسهم على رؤوسهم وازداد كفرهم ونفاقهم. Every time they are presented with some sort of fitna that makes them blind, it makes them turn back on their heels, and they increase in their disbelief and hypocrisy. وهؤلاء في الصورة كالفرقة الثانية. These ones, in terms of appearance, or in that sense, they're like the second group in terms of what appears to the people. وفي الحقيقة مخالفة لها. But in fact, they are different. They're contradicting them. فإن الفرقة الثانية تركوا قتال المؤمنين احتراما لهم لا خوفا على أنفسهم. The second group, they left and abandoned fighting the Muslims out of respect for the Muslims, not because they feared. They did it out of respect and veneration for the Muslims. ماشي. بل لو وجدوا وأما هذه الفرقة فتركوه خوفا احتراما. This group, however, they left it out of fear, not respect. بل لو وجدوا فرصة في قتال المؤمنين فإنهم سيقدمون لانتهازها. Rather, if they find any room, any opportunity to fight against the Muslims, they will seize it instantly. They won't let it go. The second group, even if they're given a chance, out of respect for the Muslims, they back off. They're like this. These ones, no, they're only afraid. If they catch the Muslims, slipping, alatul, they will catch up on him. They will run upon him with no time. These are the other ones. The third group, this is the difference between them. فَهَؤُلَاءِ إِنْ لَمْ يَتَبَيَّنْ مِنْهُمْ وَيَتَّضِحْ اتِّضَاحًا عَظِيمًا اعْتِزَالِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَتَرْكِ قِتَالِهِمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ يُقَاتَلُونَ. Those then, if their affair is not clear, and it doesn't become clear that they are abandoning fighting the believers, then these are to be fought against. If they don't abandon fighting the believers, then they are to be fought against. وَلِيَذَا قَالْ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَعْتَزِلُكُمْ وَيُلْقُوا إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَمَ أَيِ الْمُسَلَمَ وَالْمُوَادَعَ. Musalama wal muada'a. If they don't abandon you or keep their hands off you, and they display or show you muada'a and musalama, some peaceful treaty, wa yakuffu aydiyahum, and they keep their hands off, fakhuduhum wa qutuluhum haythu taqiftumuhum. Take them and kill them wherever you find them. Wa ulaika ja'alna lakum 'alayhim sultana mubina. Those we have given you clear authority and power over. Ay hujjatan bayyinatan wadihatan. Clear proof. Evident and crystal clear. لِكَوْنِهِمْ مُعْتَدِينَ ظَالِمِينَ. Why? Because they are in the state of transgression and oppression. لَكُمْ. Against you. تَارِكِينَ الْمُسَلَمَةِ. They have not chosen peace. فَلَا يَلُومُوا إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ. They should blame none but themselves. Okay? So again, just so that you will be upon understanding, you have to realize, of course, many of these ayat, ya akhwan, many of these ayat, it becomes very difficult to understand them if you're not familiar with the seerah. It is very important that you read the biography of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam for you to understand these ayat and put them in their context and perspective. Because if you're not, then all you hear is fight them and kill them wherever you find them. And these are the same ayat the kuffar use against us to try to prove that our religion is this and that. But if you know the context of these ayat, the problems with the hypocrites, the guidelines of jihad, the guidelines of fighting, when it was commanded, why, and the circumstance, all of this will make it clear for you what's going on. And obviously we cannot simultaneously do a dars on seerah and dars on tafsir. But I recommend, which is available in all bookstores, Al-Rahiq Al-Makhtum, The Sealed Nectar. It's in English. By Imam Barakfuri rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the best compilations of the seerah in English, authentic. It's pretty much authentic. Of course, the issue of traditions, the hadith, some of them may some issues, but generally there was a contest of the best seerah, and hundreds of ulama presented their work. This one was the finest and it won. After scholars evaluated it and what have you. So it's an excellent, excellent reference for you. Read the biography, read the seerah, so these ayat will become clear to you, the context of the ayat and what it is. You have to understand, the danger of the hypocrites against Muslims is greater than that of the kuffar. Because the kafir, there's no issue concerning him. He's a kafir, you know that his enmity is something which is known, declared, he doesn't even hide it. A munafiq will come to you with the salam and will tell you with the love of Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and he will bring you all these things, and while in fact he's an enemy. The biggest example we can think of today is many of the Shia leaders. The Shia leaders are among the biggest hypocrites we have today. Munafiqeen, major nifaq, enemies of Islam, working day and night to destroy it. But he wears the abaya, and he wears the turban, and he gets on the minbar, and he grows his beard, and he screams about this and that. And these people are as wicked as the Jews, if not more wicked than the Jews. In fact, they work hand in hand with the Jews against Islam. Anyone who knows history or politics, he will know this. Anyone who knows the Shia will know this. Their history proves itself. At the time of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, they were with the Tatar. They were with the Tatar against the Muslims. They've always been against the Muslims and Sunnis. Until now, they continue to kill the Muslims at any given opportunity. The Shia. These are more dangerous than the other ones. So then their danger was so prevalent that fighting them was necessary for the protection of the believers. And nothing is more important in the sight of Allah than the believers. The believers to be protected. Why do you think Allah allowed when Muslims engage in fight against non-Muslims that the women become the property of the Muslims? Why? This is how much Allah loves the mu'mineen. The level of love of Allah for the mu'mineen and the reward He wants to give him in the dunya before the akhirah is that He made these women become the property which you're allowed to have relations with. Some people don't like it. They say, what is this religion and what do you mean and this and that? I say, what's your problem? It's okay to have a girlfriend and to, you know, and sleep with half of the people on the block. And then when Allah gives the believers something which is rightfully theirs, you have a problem? You have been brainwashed. You're the sick person. This is lawful by revelation. You're going against all human beings. All human beings disagree with zina by natural disposition. Even if they engage in it. Look at the world countries now. Incest. It's a crime in almost every country in the world. Even though these countries are neither Muslim nor Christian, nothing. Secular countries. Incest is a crime and the person will be in prison. Why? Because they say it's all sex, whether she's my sister or my neighbor. What's the difference? Because Allah, when He created human beings, He made this in them. In their mind, this is wrong. Without the revelation, this is wrong. Having a girlfriend is wrong by human default. But of course, if someone wants to follow their desires, they claim otherwise. So they criticize what Allah made lawful, and they legalize what Allah made haram. Because they have been brainwashed. So you can't fall for that trap. You have to explain with confidence, yeah, what's your problem? Yes, these believers, they sacrificed their lives for the deen of Allah. And Allah decreed that they remain alive. This is their reward. Alhamdulillah. This is kind. What do you want to do with the women? What do people do today with the women? They rape them and kill them. Today, in modern days, in warfare, the attacking enemy, the attacking, you know, soldiers, they usually rape the women before their children, in front of their children, then they kill them. And if they were to take over a country, what will happen to these women when their husbands die? They will become what? Prostitutes. Most of the time, in Iraq now, I've seen it on documentaries, on CNN, on the internet, prostitutes in Iraq, regular women wearing hijab, but she cannot find a job. The country is war-torn. So the only thing the sister has is to sell her body. So Islam says, no, these women will have a home, they will have a kind treatment, they will have rights, and since the woman is living in the man's house, you know what I'm saying? He has relations with her. And she has needs. And when she wants to get married, then they help her get married, or they free her. How many things in Islam do we have where you have to free a slave? Free if atku raqaba, faqu raqaba. So Islam encouraged freeing them and giving them rights, helping them get married, helping them lead a good life. So it's all systematic. It is all well organized by Allah. Only the kuffar are too dumb to understand. They're too feeble-minded. He doesn't know. He only knows video games and you know, pornography and you know, things that... That's it. That's their life. When it comes to things that require intellect and reflection, they have zero. Zero. He only knows how to beat a game. PlayStation 3, Wii, whatever they call these games. But when it comes to things which if you really think with your brain, you see, subhanAllah, there's wisdom behind that. No, their brains don't function this way. They just don't. But we can't be like that either. We can't be like that. You have to think, reflect. Nothing Allah revealed except there's goodness in it. Wallahi, nothing. Not even this small, except that there's major wisdom behind it. We have to learn that. And apply it and share it with others. With no shame. No shame. No shame. Speak with confidence. You will silence the opposition. That's the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because بَلَّقْذِفُ بِالْحَقِّ عَلَى الْبَاطِلِ فَيَدْمَغُهُ فَإِذَا هُوَ زَاهِقٌ. Allah says, we fling with the truth against falsehood, it demolishes it. From dimagh. يَدْمَغُهُ from the brain. Meaning it goes straight. You know, when you're fighting with someone in boxing, in the boxing world, where is that punch which will knock out your opponent? Boom! Right in his brain, right in his head. This is when he will knock out. Now you punch him in the shoulder, what's going to happen? He's going to hurt. But where do you knock him out? Head blow. So Allah said the truth which He sends doesn't go to any body part of the falsehood. No, it goes right to the dimagh. Bow! And fayazaku, and it disappears. It demolishes it. It destroys it from the foundation. So when you have the truth, you don't have to worry about anyone or anything. So this is the context of these ayat, and I think that is sufficient, inshallah, for today, because the upcoming ayat require quite a lengthy explanation. Excuse me, which is dealing with the believer killing a disbeliever by killing another believer by mistake, and the expiation for that, and the things of the sort. Naam, akhi. Four qualities. If he speaks, he lies. If he promises you, he doesn't fulfill his promise. If he promises, and if he is trusted with something, he acts treacherously. And if he argues, he overreacts. So if he speaks, he lies. If you trust him with something, he acts treacherously. If he promises you something, he doesn't fulfill the promise. And if you dispute with him, he overreacts. Kibar ulama, meaning senior scholars. Yani, because ulama are not obviously at the same level. Some are more senior than others, be it in terms of knowledge or in terms of experience. Someone who's been in the field for many years obviously is not like someone who just barely graduated. So there's a vast difference between the two. So Hayat Kibar al-Ulama, the committee of major or senior scholars, are those who are, you know, the most qualified to be analyzing issues of Sharia and issuing fatwa accordingly. Now, okay.